Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. Looking back at this past week in history, on December 26, 1954, one of radio's most popular programs, The Shadow, was heard for the last time on the Mutual Radio Network. Vigilante crime fighter Lamont Cranston had battled greed and corruption since Thursday night, July 31, 1930, at 9:40 p.m., when the part was first portrayed by James Licurto in the Detective Story Hour on CBS Radio. Here's what the opening of the show sounded like in 1938. So here to commemorate The Shadow are some songs about, that's right, you guessed it, shadows, starting off with Jan Garber and his orchestra.
Shadows through the night they surround me, making me blue as I can be. Shadows, melodies all around me. What can I do? They're haunting me. Though I fear, I love to hear those blue harmonies. For it seems those tender themes are just memories. Blue shadows, why do those strange blue shadows gather around me when nightshades fall?
Thank you. Let me live my song. winter, let me bring the spring to you. Let me be that I mean everything to you. Love's old song will be new in the shadows when I come and sing to you. Let me bring the spring to you. Let me feel that I mean everything to you. Love's old song will be new in the shadows when I come and sing to you. I come and sing to you.
Some shadow songs, starting off with Jan Garber and his orchestra from the soundtrack of an MGM short subject in 1928, and Blue Shadows, a tune written by Louis Alter. Then Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli were Chasing Shadows, along with the quintet of the Hot Club of France. That was followed by Scrappy Lambert vocalizing on Me and My Shadow from 1927, and we finished off with Dick Powell and Dubin and Warren's The Shadow Waltz from Gold Diggers of 1933, which also gave us We're in the Money. And you're hearing it all on Rapidly Rotating Records, which you can hear on KISL each and every Sunday evening at 6, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We'll be back with Paul Whiteman, Al Boley, and Bertini and the Tower Blackpool Dance Orchestra right after this. This past week on December 29th in 1952, the first transistorized hearing aid was offered for sale by Sonatone Corporation. Sonatone began making hearing aids in 1930 and still makes them today. They also developed and used to manufacture phono cartridges, microphones, vacuum tubes, speakers, amplifiers, and batteries. So here is a set of songs to commemorate the transistorized hearing aid, starting off with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra.
Just to fall mine, if I love you. Life's been awfully good to me.
Till I heard.
What did you hear?
Oh, I heard. Yes, I heard. Well, they didn't buzz to me. Still, I heard.
I wish you'd say something.
Well, now, she said that he said, but he didn't say where she got it. And they said that he said that the law was going to stop it. Now, I heard.
What?
Well, yes, I heard.
What?
The wasn't told to me, fella. I only heard.
Listen to that band, come on, sway right with them. Don't you think it's grand? Hear them syncopating, hear that saxophone. Don't be hesitating, dance till the cows come home. When you're feeling sad and blue, but your sweetie's left you too, that is what you've got to do. Just go and get your dancing shoes and dance away through night and day. See your troubles fade away. Dance to that rhythm band. Ain't life just grand?
Bertini and the Tower Blackpool Dance Orchestra from an 8-inch record on the Crystallate Company's Eclipse label, Listen to That Rhythm. Maurice Elwin performed the vocal on that recording from February 20th, 1934. And before that, I Heard, You Heard, We All Heard, I Heard. Written by Don Redman and recorded in London on July 18th, 1932 by Carol Gibbons and the Savoy Hotel Orpheans. That was Al Boley singing and Carol Gibbons interjecting there. And we started off with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra and Do I Hear You Saying I Love You? Lyrics by Lorenz Hart and music by Richard Rodgers from the show Present Arms, which also included You Took Advantage of Me. And you're hearing it all on Rapidly Rotating Records, heard each Sunday evening at 6 here on KISL 88.7 Avalon. Your comments and requests are always welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GLENNROBISON, or you can send cards or letters by mail to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711, or you can give me a call at area code 909-641-0805, area code 909-641-0805. Last week, on December 26th in 1939, the legendary blues composer W.C. Handy recorded the classic St. Louis Blues for Varsity Records in New York. Handy was one of the first to use the flat third and seventh notes in his compositions, known in the music biz as blue notes. Here is that 1939 recording. Thank you. William Christopher Handy was born on November 16, 1873, in Florence, Alabama. Handy joined a local blues band as a teenager, but he kept this fact secret from his parents because the playing of musical instruments was frowned upon by his family and church. He purchased a cornet from a fellow band member and spent every free minute practicing it. He was an exceptional student in school, and in 1892 he passed a teaching exam and got a teaching job in Birmingham, but soon quit because of the poor pay. He formed a quartet called the Lozetta Quartet, which traveled to Chicago. The group broke up, and Handy wound up in Evansville, Indiana. In August of 1896, he joined a minstrel group in Chicago called Mahara's Minstrels at a salary of $6 a week. The group traveled all over the Southeast and even went to Cuba. He took up teaching once again, this time as a faculty member at Agricultural and Mechanical College in Normal, but the pay was again an issue, and he rejoined the Mahara Minstrels. From 1903 to 1909, he directed a black band called the Knights of Pythias in Clarksdale, Mississippi. This job proved to be very rewarding, and Handy remained there for 6 years. His first blues composition was a campaign song written for a Memphis mayoral candidate. The song was later titled Memphis Blues and became a huge success. He wrote his most famous composition, St. Louis Blues, in 1914 at age 40. He opened his own publishing business and worked steadily throughout the 1920s and 30s despite problems with his vision. In 1943, he lost his sight as a result of a fall. W.C. Handy died on March 28, 1958, of acute bronchial pneumonia at age 84. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'll be back with some lifelike songs right after this. Following 36 years of publication, the last weekly issue of Life magazine hit the newsstands last week on December 29, 1972. The Newsweekly is said to have redefined photojournalism while showing America its own face. The first issue of the magazine featured a newborn baby and a doctor with the heading Life Begins. The magazine later became an occasional publication, then a monthly. So here to commemorate Life magazine are some songs about life in general, starting off with the Coon Sanders original Nighthawk Orchestra.
Just the same, the world goes on, I must live and know you're gone. What a life, trying to live without you.
A little work, a little fun, a little time for loving. When the day is done, and a little thing that cries for lullabies could make man and wife. Tell the world how much they love the little things in life.
Things in life are free. shine for everyone. They're shining for you and me. The flowers in spring, the birdies that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine. And love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free.
Thank you.
A set of Life songs there to commemorate Life magazine. We heard McKinney's Cotton Pickers and Laughing at Life. And before that, The Best Things in Life Are Free, written by Da Silva, Brown and Henderson, Jack Hilton and his orchestra, from July 24th, 1928, with Jack Hilton doing the vocal. And before that, The Little Things in Life, Smith Blue doing the vocal on that one, with Fred Rich and his orchestra, from November 19th, 1930. Fred Rich was born in Warsaw, Poland, in January 1898. When his family emigrated to New York, Fred took up the piano and in his mid-teens worked in a movie theater accompanying silent films. He studied at the Damrosch Conservatory of Music and led his own orchestra at the Astor Hotel from 1922 to 1928 when he became musical director for the Columbia Broadcasting System, a post which he held for the next 10 years. And we started off with Joe Sanders vocalizing on What a Life, Trying to Live Without You, written by Louis Alter with lyrics by Charlotte Kent. Recorded in Chicago by Victor on March 9, 1932, by the Coon Sanders Orchestra. Joe Sanders had to try to live without his band leading partner, Carlton Coon, who died about 2 months after that record was made. You're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records on KISL 88.7 Avalon. We'll be back to say goodbye to the year 2000 when we return right after this. The celebration of the new year is the oldest of all holidays. It was first observed in ancient Babylon about 4,000 years ago. In the years around 2000 BC, Babylonians celebrated the beginning of a new year on what is now March 23rd, although they themselves had no written calendar. Late March actually is a logical choice for the beginning of a new year. It's the time of year that spring begins and new crops are planted. January 1st, on the other hand, has no astronomical nor agricultural significance. It's purely arbitrary. The Babylonian New Year celebration lasted for 11 days. Each day had its own particular mode of celebration, but it's safe to say that modern New Year's Eve festivities pale in comparison. The Romans continued to observe the new year on March 25th, but their calendar was continually tampered with by various emperors, so that the calendar soon became out of synchronization with the sun. In order to set the calendar right, the Roman Senate in 153 BC declared January 1st to be the beginning of the new year, but tampering continued until Julius Caesar in 46 BC established what has come to be known as the Julian calendar. It again established January 1st as the new year. But in order to synchronize the calendar with the sun, Caesar had to let the previous year drag on for 445 days. Well, it'll be 2001 in just a few hours, so we're going to wrap up this last segment of this last show of the year 2000 with some songs for New Year's Eve. Now, normally we don't venture too far or too often into the novelty genre or into the 1940s, but here's a classic recorded December 23rd, 1947, and released in November of 1948 by Spike Jonze and the City Slickers. Happy New Year!
This is my New Year's resolution. When my mother-in-law begins to yell and shout, through the window I would like to throw her out. But I resolve not to do it, here is why. I'm afraid of hitting someone passing by. This is my New Year's resolution. When I'm at the movies watching a love scene, and the lady's hat is blocking half the screen, I resolve not to shout, take off that hat. I'll remove it gently with a baseball bat. This is my New Year's resolution. When I take a lovely lady out to eat, and she orders caviar instead of meat, I resolve to let the lady have her fill. And of course I'll also let her pay the bill. This is my New Year's resolution.
Come on, Sir Frederick Gass. Come on, Sir Frederick Gass. Come on, boy.
When I'm sitting with my wifey on a bus, and a dear old lady stands in front of us, I resolve to be a gentleman discreet. I'll politely offer her my wifey seat. This is my New Year's resolution.
Hey, Judge Rock, how about your New Year's resolution?
When my mother says, come in, it's time to eat, and I keep on playing games out in the street, I resolve to rush right home now when I'm cold, 'cause my pop just bought a hairbrush and he's bald. This is my New Year's resolution. Hey, Doodles Weaver, how about Professor Beetlebum?
On the radio this year I hope to score with some funny jokes you've never heard before. I resolve not to tell a corny joke. Hello, what's that? The church burned down. Holy smoke. My ear's root revelation.
Hey, Spike, how about Spike?
In this coming year, I'm gonna be discreet. Have the slickers playing music soft and sweet. I resolve to treat Tchaikovsky tenderly and set his second movement off with TNT.
Spike Jones, along with Sir Frederick Gass, Doodles Weaver, and George Rock, each with their own New Year's resolution there, and Happy New Year. While most of us will be spending New Year's Eve with friends or relatives at home or a restaurant or club, Raymond Scott and the Quintet will apparently be spending New Year's Eve in a haunted house. The Raymond Scott Quintet and New Year's Eve in a Haunted House from February 29, 1938. Among the members of the quintet was Dave Harris on tenor sax. According to Harris, the quintet did not use paper charts. apparently, Scott would sit at the piano and play each part and assign the parts to the musicians. With nothing written down on paper, nothing could ever be changed. The songs had to be played note for note, and this particular method, of course, required endless rehearsals. Raymond Scott was also a pioneer of electronic music. After retiring from band leading about 1960, he drew upon his engineering background and spent years doing research supported by Motown Records. He invented an instantaneous composing machine, which he called the Electronium, and developed the first programmable polyphonic sequencer. The song Auld Lang Syne is sung at the stroke of midnight in almost every English-speaking country in the world to bring in the new year. At least partially written by Robert Burns in the 1700s, it was first published in 1796 after Burns' death. Early variations of the song were sung prior to 1700 and inspired Burns to produce the modern rendition. An old Scotch tune, Auld Lang Syne literally means old long ago, or simply the good old days. Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians played Auld Lang Syne as a New Year's Eve song for the first time on this night, December 31st, 1929. Auld Lang Syne had been the band's theme song long before 1929. However, this night was the start of a New Year's Eve tradition as Lombardo's famed orchestra played at the Hotel Roosevelt Grill in New York City to usher in the new year. I'm Glenn Robison. I hope you've enjoyed this New Year's Eve edition of Rapidly Rotating Records on KISL, and that you'll tune in again next Sunday evening at 6 here at 88.7. Until then, your comments and requests are welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GLENNROBISON, or you can send cards or letters to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. Or you can give me a call at area code 909-641-0805. That's area code 909-641-0805 with your comments or requests. I'd love to hear from you. Wishing you a safe, healthy, and exceedingly prosperous new year, I thank you for your very kind attention, and leave you with Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians.